VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. Dalton Windsor in for Jim Schneider. Today, a news roundup and comment day, where in the minutes ahead, it is our hope to have you doing some of the commenting on where we are as a nation, a blessed nation, a truly great nation. But frankly, we're all asking some questions today. We're somewhat of a stunned nation. Some are stunned that there was no blue wave. Some are stunned of the apparent red wave. But what are we to believe now? Who do we believe? What do we believe? Well, thankfully, as Christian Americans, our foundation has not changed. Our foundation is sure. It's solid. As Jim and I were meeting just the other morning, we agreed that our trust is not in who resides at the White House, but we trust in who it is that's watching over our house, who's watching over our lives. The psalmist reminds us that we are to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in our mouths. But friends, we do have concerns. We're concerned about issues of freedom. We're concerned about free speech and liberty and righteousness. And we want some answers. We've been waiting for some answers. How many comments have we heard now for months? Whatever happened to normal in America? Can some level of normal return to our daily lives? That normal, however you define that, that has truly escaped us this year, 2020. Having recently heard the hymn, though, we've been reminded of the breath of life that God breathed into man. The hymn, "O Breath of Life, Come Sweeping Through Us, Revive Your Church with Life and Power. O Breath of Life, Come Cleanse, Renew Us, and Fit Your Church to Meet This Hour." And we speak of an hour that we are in, and yes, it is a troubled hour. In fact, to just kind of set the scene here for where we are right now on this Friday, November the 6th, 2020, headlines are saying that at any minute, Joe Biden may soon be addressing the nation, could be as late as this evening, maybe sooner. We're all waiting to see who will be declared the winner for president of the United States. Now, Joe Biden, along with running mate Kamala Harris, spoke the following just yesterday.
In America, the vote is sacred. It's how people of this nation express their will. And it is the will of the voters. No one, not anything else, that chooses the President of the United States of America. So, each ballot must be counted. And that's what we're going to see going through now. And that's how it should be. Democracy is sometimes messy. It sometimes requires a little patience as well. But that patience has been rewarded now for more than 240 years with a system of governance that's been the envy of the world. And we continue to feel, Senator and I, we continue to feel very good about where things stand. We have no doubt that when the count is finished, Senator Harris and I will be declared the winners. So, I ask everyone to stay calm, all the people to stay calm. The process is working. The count is being completed, and we'll know very soon. So, thank you all for your patience, but we got to count the votes. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you so much.
That, of course, Joe Biden from Wilmington, Delaware, just yesterday coming to the American people and stressing calm. Well, it was later in the day or last evening that President Trump from the White House would follow up with his comments.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Good evening. I'd like to provide the American people with an update on our efforts to protect the integrity of our very important 2020 election. If you count the legal votes, I easily win. If you count the illegal votes, they can try to steal the election from us. If you count the votes that came in late, we're looking at them very strongly. But a lot of votes came in late. I've already decisively won many critical states, including massive victories in Florida, Iowa, Indiana, Ohio. To name just a few, we won these and many other victories despite historic election interference from big media, big money, and big tech. As everybody saw, we won by historic numbers. And the pollsters got it knowingly wrong. They got it knowingly wrong. We had polls that were so ridiculous, and everybody knew it at the time. There was no blue wave that they predicted. They thought there was going to be a big blue wave. That was false. That was done for suppression reasons. But instead, there was a big red wave. And it's been properly acknowledged, actually, by the media. They were, I think, very impressed. But that was after the fact. That doesn't do us any good. We kept the Senate despite having twice as many seats to defend as Democrats. And in a really much more competitive states, we did a fantastic job with the Senate. I think we're very proud of what's happened there. We had many more seats to defend. They spent almost $200 million on Senate races in South Carolina and Kentucky alone, two races, and hundreds of millions of dollars overall against us. At the national level, our opponents' major donors were Wall Street bankers and special interests. Our major donors were police officers, farmers, everyday citizens. Yet for the first time ever, we lost zero races in the House. I was talking to Kevin McCarthy today. He said he couldn't believe it. Zero races. Very unusual thing. Zero. And actually won many new seats with, I think, many more on the way. This was also the year of the Republican woman. More Republican women were elected to Congress than ever before. That's a great achievement. I won the largest share of non-white voters of any Republican in 60 years, including historic numbers of Latino, African-American, Asian-American, and Native American voters, the largest ever in our history. We grew our party by 4 million voters, the greatest turnout in Republican Party history. Democrats are the party of the big donors, the big media, the big tech, it seems, and Republicans have become the party of the American worker, and that's what's happened. And we're also, I believe, the party of inclusion. As everyone now recognizes, media polling was election interference in the truest sense of that word, by powerful special interests.
Well, his speech did go on, President Trump from the White House just last evening, and well, for the sake of time and much ground to cover and our hopes to be hearing from you as we progress here with Crosstalk today, we will we'll move along here. But the president obviously speaking powerful words, saying historic election interference by big media, big money, and big tech, and that this could go all the way to the Supreme Court. He went on to describe in detail numerous instances of apparent election meddling. The president's also discussing some of his ongoing efforts to fight what he describes as tremendous corruption. He mentioned the media polling. Now, the media polling was election interference in the truest sense of that word by powerful special interest. He said there are now only a few states yet to be decided in the presidential race. Of course, this was speaking last night. And friends, there's been no change except for his lead in each of these states. If there was a lead, speaking of Arizona or Georgia, though, we saw those numbers continue to dwindle as, well, the appearance is that more votes are coming in. And that's of, well, that's been the trend all day long since last night. He said that the president said they want to find out how many votes they need, and they seem to be able to find them. They wait and they wait, and then they find them. It's amazing, the president says, how those mail-in ballots are so one-sided as well. Newsmax today reporting that, well, what we just heard, the president saying he would easily win the election if just the legal votes were counted, stressing that term, legal votes. He wrote, "I easily win the presidency with legal votes cast. The observers were not allowed in any way, shape, or form to do their job, and therefore votes accepted during this period must be determined to be illegal votes, and the U.S. Supreme Court should decide." And that's definitely been the thought since even the early morning hours after the night of the election, as that was the first thing that the president told the American people. Now, in another tweet, the president blasted Democrats after tight Senate races took place involving Republicans John James in Michigan and then Senator David Perdue in Georgia. He wrote, "So now the Democrats are working to gain control of the U.S. Senate through their actions on John James, David Perdue, and more. Would end the filibuster, life, 2A, and would pack and rotate the court. The presidency becomes even more important. We will win." That in one of the tweets from President Donald Trump. But friends, this is quite the stack of news. But we have this, definitely have this feeling, and we know just from the work that is done on a daily basis on this program, Crosstalk, over the past several months. In fact, we shared this yesterday on our Facebook page, the Crosstalk America Facebook page. Just three shows that have programs that we have hosted here looking at this very issue that is now a real issue in front of us. Back in August, we go back to August the 6th with Bill Federer, Jim Schneider and Bill, they covered socialism and vote fraud. That was August the 6th, 2020. A month later, September 7th, 2020, Jim Schneider visited with Robert Knight, the program Vote Fraud. From September 7th to October 7th, Jim Schneider and a Crosstalk program, Vote Fraud Concern. Friends, we shouldn't be taken by surprise as there have been many, including the very words of the president, saying that with all of these ballots being thrown around as they have been, that fraud is something that we are going to have to truly consider. And now it's at the forefront of everything that is being discussed. Coming up, we'll get over on the other side of the break, and we're going to begin looking at just a few more of the headline stories of the day, and then we, of course, are going to want to be hearing from you. But we're looking at a 2020 presidential election still undecided as of this broadcast time today, and the frustrating thing about these claims is that there is usually no way to verify fraud, not in these early stages, partly because the people accused of fraud are often the same people who have to investigate it. And, well, we'll continue to unpack some of this as we proceed here and hope to hear from you on the other side of the break when we continue on the VCY America Radio Network. Stay with us.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research.
Dr. Morris, where do fingerprints come from?
Chris, fingerprints are unique for each individual, produced by nuances in the genetic code. Now, koala bears also have fingerprints which look surprisingly like human fingerprints, even though in evolution we're not closely related to the koala bears. These are much more human-like than are those pseudo-fingerprints of chimpanzees, which evolutionists think are our closest relative. And how can that be? Evolutionists conclude koala bears and humans evolved their fingerprints independently, a convenient non-answer to evidence which fits creation and not evolution. Chris, the evidence doesn't fit evolution because evolution isn't true. We were created in God's image, separate from the animals, just like it says back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Thank you.
we thank you for joining us on the BCY America Radio Network for this Friday news roundup and comment from Breitbart today. And we began to allude to this just before the break. But as things are still so undecided on, where things are going, the frustrating thing remains, this is from Breitbart, about these claims that there is usually no way to quickly verify, partly because the people accused of fraud are often the same people who would have to investigate it. The sad reality is that there are already legal ways for partisan actors to interfere with the election. This goes on to say that by far the biggest factor in the 2020 presidential election seems to have been vote by mail, being linked to six of the seven methods that they share here. Six of the seven methods for vote by mail in this 2020 presidential election. Now, the Democrats pioneered the use of vote by mail to turn out their own voters in a judicial election in Wisconsin in April, then went on what the New York Times called a virtual nationwide tour extolling the virtues of the system. They planned lawsuits and pressure campaigns to force key battleground states to adopt the new voting system. Vote by mail also put President Donald Trump in an impossible position, and he predicted that Democrats would use the system to do exactly what they did, to turn out their vote and put the outcome in no doubt. And when the president complained about the system, he was fact-checked by media and censored by social media companies. But again, looking at this system, this vote by mail system, seven ways the vote is titled. Number one, voter fraud. Actual voter fraud, though relatively small in scale, includes voting twice, dead people voting, filing out ballots for other people, losing ballots before they are counted, and so on. That's the first one. Number two, ballot harvesting. Ballot harvesting involves using third parties to collect an unlimited number of mail-in ballots from other people. Number three, curing absentee ballots. You have probably, have you heard some of these terms? So many terms coming our direction. Curing absentee ballots. Several states, including Republican-governed states, allow voters to cure problems with absentee ballots. This includes such as a missing signature, then resubmit. And Democrats are literally going door to door right now in closely contested Georgia, asking absentee voters in person to fix their ballots. Democrats, again, literally going door to door, according to these reports, in closely contested Georgia. That's number three, the curing of absentee ballots. Number four, deadline extensions. We've heard of this one, right? Pretty new approach. Deadline extensions, a relaxing of the rules. Democrats sued in several key battleground states to force states to extend the deadline for mailed-in ballots to be counted past Election Day itself. Now, in recent memory, we would often think that the military votes would be the last to come in, correct? And those, we had an understanding that those may be the last to come in. We're still waiting on that. We were told at last report down in Georgia. Oh, we're not finished. We're not finished with these multiple titlings for voter fraud. Number five, privately funded get out the vote efforts. As from Breitbart News, they warned last month, liberal billionaires like Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg donated hundreds of millions of dollars to so-called safe, quote, safe elections, end of quote, safe elections efforts. And then number six, automatic vote by mail applications. The CARES Act, the first coronavirus relief package. These things, they paid for states like Wisconsin to send information packets to millions of registered voters, in effect, a federally funded voter turnout operation. And then lastly, number seven, social media censorship. If you're on social media, there's a good chance, if you haven't been affected by this, someone you know has. Social media censorship. The decision of Silicon Valley companies to censor information during the election has had a profound effect whose true impact may never be fully known. Twitter regularly censors the president and the New York Post reporting on Hunter Biden, any Hunter Biden story, or even candidate Joe Biden. Now, President Trump campaign has announced several legal battles in moving ahead in these key states that we've been talking about. On Wednesday, attorney Rudy Giuliani, Eric Trump, and senior Trump campaign advisor Laura Trump spoke in Philadelphia accusing Democrats of the fraud that we're, of course, talking about in the counting of the local mail-in ballots. This clearly keeps coming up, these mail-ins. They state poll watchers were prevented from observing ballots that were being counted. Eric Trump said Democrat attempts to rig the election have been observed through the process, so this latest one comes as no surprise. Quote, the Democrats know that the only way that they can win this election is to cheat in Pennsylvania, said the president's son. And there is a video after video now that is being released of votes being passed out, collateral material in polling sites all over Philadelphia. They're trying to cheat, notes the president's son. And this came as the campaign began filing lawsuits in Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Georgia, amid all the evidence of fraud in those states as well. You know, there are these calls for calm, and it's going to take that calm and some patience to let the system do what needs to be done. All of us, sure, we're used to finding out the night of the election. I mean, that's kind of what is normal, but it's 2020. What is normal anymore, right? There should be a great night of celebration when our system, our government way of doing government here in our nation is completed. Not anymore. And friends, you should see the stack here of headlines. And frankly, I know that many of you have already been hearing some of these, most of these. And you're like all of us. We're waiting for, you know, that next operation to take place. We're waiting for the next big announcement. Do you know that since Joe Biden was picked to be the Democratic Party's presidential puppet, we have been told he would win the presidency by a blowout? Political media has been speculating eagerly about this blue wave that didn't happen. 2 weeks before the election, the nonpartisan Cook's Political Report predicted an expanded Democrat majority in the House. They predicted that. A net gain of 5 to 10 seats to a gain of between 5 and 15 seats. We now know that did not happen. Last week, Democrats told the Washington Post, which described the party as awash in cash, that they expected to flip as many as 15 House seats on Biden's presumed presidential coattails. That didn't happen at all. In fact, we've seen the opposite. Republicans have flipped 7 U.S. House races so far, and the Democrats flipping 2, that from Real Clear Politics. And that narrows Democrats' hold on the House from 232 to 227, 9 more than the majority, even if no more are flipped. Republicans could even ultimately flip 15, as many as Democrats had hoped to. Republicans had twice as many Senate seats to defend this election than Democrats did, and they currently appear to retain their Senate majority. Democrats have flipped 1 seat. Far poorer funded Republicans retained seats Democrats literally spent hundreds of millions of dollars to flip, those being Senator Susan Collins of Maine, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, and Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina.
And from the Federalist, it says it would be mystifying if Republicans won more seats in the House, retained the Senate, picked up state legislative seats, all while the same voters voted against Trump. President Trump, who has solidified his support among Republican voters and enjoys a massive approval rating from those that he didn't have in 2016, and expanded his coalition to more working-class minority voters this year. You heard him say that just minutes ago at the beginning of this program. Yet, we are supposed to believe the same media Democrat complex that fed us wildly erroneous polls all year, running false information operations on us about the coronavirus, the Russia hoax, and everything else they can use to steal power, that this blue wave's evaporation did not at all affect the top ticket? We're coming up against another break here shortly. We're going to begin opening the phone lines here shortly. Let's definitely get to this. This is from Newsmax. Dick Morris, many of you would recognize that name from, you know, possibly Fox News, whatever he does online. Members of Republican-controlled legislatures in four states must step up and take charge of the ballot counting process from their governors, who happen to be Democrats, and help President Donald Trump win re-election. Again, this from political analyst Dick Morris. Morris pointed out that the U.S. Constitution stipulates that the legislature takes a prominent role in the Electoral College process as spelled out in Article 2, Section 1. Quote, each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress. But no senator or representative or person holding an office of trust or profit under the United States shall be appointed an elector. End of quote. Morris went on to say the U.S. Constitution does not say that the states shall decide the procedure for electoral votes. They say the legislature should decide, not the governors, the legislature. And Morris says, and what they should do is step in and say the evidence of missing votes, suddenly discovered votes, or unexplained delays, not granting access to poll watchers, all of this would show the corruption of this process, and we, the state legislature, are taking it over. That from Dick Morris and the article released earlier this morning. I'm sorry, I beg your pardon, that from yesterday in Newsmax. So, the stack remains, and there are just a couple of more things that we will get to here as we proceed into this bottom of the hour here, and then come back for more, and we'll be opening up the phone lines to hear from you on this news roundup Friday and comments. Friends, there's so much to be praying about here in our nation. Stay with us. Crosstalk will continue. Increasingly, we are hearing a rallying cry for socialism in our society. Free health care, free education, free food, free everything. Some are fanning the flames by encouraging mobs to change our government, our constitution, and our way of life. Do we really want to go the way of Russia? Of communist China? Cuba? Venezuela? Is socialism a wonderful utopia? Or is it a totalitarian nightmare? Will everything be free? Or will deep state bureaucrats decide who gets what? These are critical issues presented in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. Author Bill Federer tracks the origins of socialism and reveals how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. The book, Socialism, is available from VCY for your donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829. This is Crosstalk on the BCY America Radio Network. Again, thank you for joining us on this Friday news roundup and comment. How about this headline? Judge shocked that the United States Postal Service disregarded order for postal inspectors to search for undelivered ballots. A federal judge abraded lawyers for the U.S. Postal Service on Wednesday after the agency failed to meet his Election Day order for postal inspectors to sweep mail processing facilities in more than a dozen states for missing ballots. U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan said he was shocked to learn that facilities in 12 postal districts, including some in crucial battleground states of Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Texas, Wisconsin, had not been searched, leaving authorities unable to determine whether all the ballots had even been delivered. Sullivan later adjourned the hearing, summoning Kevin Bray, the USPS executive in charge of election mail processing, to appear in court to explain why his order was disregarded. The judge then ordered the Postal Service to conduct two sweeps of its 14 mail processing facilities in Texas for any ballots postmarked on Election Day or earlier. Friends, we were warned. We were warned about these type of things. The Texas sweeps produced 815 ballots. I don't know if these were votes, but they were ballots. 548 in the first sweep, 267 ballots in the second. So in his testimony, Bray spent 2 hours defending the Postal Service efforts. And the word is that nationwide, between Sunday and Monday, the Postal Service directed an estimated 10,000 ballots to the express mail system for overnight delivery. Bray told the court he instructed staffers to do whatever you have to do to accelerate election-related pieces. Beginning Sunday, he said it was mandatory that all ballots would be designated for overnight mail, a process that would now continue for states still accepting ballots for counting. So much for an election day. Although 29 states required mail-in ballots to be delivered by Tuesday, the remaining states have deadlines through the next 2 weeks. Mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania, for example. You heard anything about this? Pennsylvania. The mail-in ballots there were due by today. This is Friday, November 6th. Election Day was November 3rd. These mail-in ballots due today. North Carolina ballots accepted this year up to 9 days after the election day. California's deadline, 17 days after the election. And we haven't really covered much about Arizona. We've kind of just barely went there. But, of course, Arizona, that early call for Biden. I believe it was Fox News that called the state of Arizona early. And even received a little criticism from other networks saying, whoa, how did you do that so fast? Well, a discrepancy discovered in polling data reported Wednesday morning that may have just invalidated those early attempts to call the state of Arizona for the presidential nominee Joe Biden. According to New York Times, breaking news editor Patrick LaForge, the exit polling firm Edison Media Research Incorporated mistakenly overestimated the number of precincts reporting from the state Wednesday, leading numerous prominent establishment media outlets to publish election maps with exaggerated confidence toward Biden, for the Biden lead. This says, from Twitter, LaForge announced, an error was found in the data feed from Edison Research used by the New York Times and other news organizations for the results in Arizona. 86% of ballots have been counted. I'll repeat that one. 86% of ballots had been counted at that point, not 98. The New York Times has not called the state for Biden, though, we've seen the President Trump's lead grow there and then dwindle once again. And at this point, who knows? Now, there are a majority of establishment media outlets that have refrained from calling Arizona either way, which has left the possibility of a Trump victory there, and that's still up for debate. Fox News, however, was not so hesitant, having called the race for Biden early in the night Tuesday, and the AP followed suit in the wee hours Wednesday morning. Here's a headline. The GOP blasts Fox over that early Arizona call. The President of the United States advisor makes lawsuit announcement. Senior Trump campaign staff joined with the GOP officials yesterday, Thursday, in Arizona, calling on establishment media outlets to retract the early declarations that the state's 11 electoral votes would go for Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. It just seems like they could not get those added to his totals quick enough. And what controversy ever since when Fox called the state's race in favor of Joe Biden? At a conference yesterday afternoon in Phoenix, Arizona, our listening friends there, Chairwoman Kelly Ward from the GOP tore into the Fox News forecast but refused to lose confidence in claims the state would go for incumbent President Donald Trump when the last legal vote was counted. Ward said, "You know, it's not about Fox. It's about counting our votes, and that's exactly what we are doing." They said, "Do not let this election be stolen. I won't. I know you won't." And what happened in 2016? Trump won the state of Arizona by a margin of roughly 90,000 votes during his first Oval Office bid. And friends, at last word, Arizona is... Well, the jury's still out there on what is taking place. So really, we could go on and on with stories. Stories from Arizona talking about confusion with pens that were used. Sharpies that were invalidating votes. Are you kidding me? Who can think up these things? But those are some of the things being talked about. Lots of news, and it's not necessarily the news that we were hoping that as a nation we could be coming together in some sort of a celebratory manner, looking ahead to the close of 2020, a coming, Lord willing, coming holiday season, and a new year 2021. But friends, 2020. It's not over yet. What say you? Are you confident in what you've been told? Are you confident, listening friend? Are you confident that your vote really did matter? We've heard a lot about things that matter in 2020. What about your vote? Our civic duty as Christian Americans to get out the vote, to pray. We take this seriously. And there have been, we cover so many of the things that are wrong, so many of the bad things that are happening. We're trying to expose, we try to see the wrong be righted. But there are some good things happening. Many people getting involved in the process and learning how blessed we are in the United States of America. What say you? 1-800-733-9829. We're going to open up the telephone lines to hear from you across the country today. 1-800-733-9829. What about your vote? How are you feeling today? Are you confident? And can you be patient enough? Can we all be patient here in this hallway of decision and what direction it's going to go? We said at the beginning of the program, as Christian Americans, our foundation is sure. On Christ, the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. But yes, in issues of life and freedom and liberty and righteousness, yes, we have a right to be concerned. 1-800-733-9829. Let's go to Rob in Pennsylvania. Rob, thank you for calling Crosstalk today.
Hey, how are you today?
We're blessed. Thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Hey, I'm just listening to the radio station. Every once in a while, I tune into you guys. you're a little ways up the road from NPR there on the station. But I have to disagree with your comments today. I'm a Republican. I live in the state of Pennsylvania. I voted. Actually, I voted for Biden because I'm really not crazy what Trump's done with the Republican Party. And I really believe that these claims are baseless. If you can give me one specific, and I work for Pennsylvania, you can give me one specific claim of fraud. You know, Eric Trump and Rudy Giuliani were just throwing anything against the wall, and that's what Trump's going to do. He's going to throw anything against the wall to show that this was fraud. He wouldn't be doing this if he would, they were counting the votes and he was leading now. I think it's sad. I really do. I think the election went on. And by the way, those votes that were have to be postmarked by today in Pennsylvania, they're absentee votes for veterans. So it's just there's no basis in any of this stuff. And the reason why you don't see Mitch McConnell, state legislators and your state Republicans stand up is because they know they have no proof. And they know that they're not going to do it. McConnell said, he goes, let them lawyer up, let them handle it. He's not going to do this. So I think that tells a lot about what's going on. And I'll take my comments off air. And I just hope things go smoothly and the nation is, you know, run smoothly. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. And Rob, appreciate the call today. And obviously, we've been through some storms before with the electoral process.
Exactly.
We think back 20 years ago and how turbulent those times were. But are you willing to endure that time again? You obviously said you didn't vote for President Trump.
Right.
I really don't think,
let's put it this way. Yes, they want to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, and I get that. That's fine. But what has Trump put forward? I'm a type 1 diabetic, and I've been for 40 years. He has not put forward, and I'm in healthcare. Okay? He has not put forward any type of plan at all. You give me one specific thing about his plan. You tell me one specific thing that you like about his health care plan.
Okay, so
you tell me that.
Okay, well, we're not going to.
You can't.
Well, I'm not going to.
He talks in generalities. That's the problem with this guy. I like the guy. He's a businessman.
Sure.
But he talks in generalities, and to me, it's just. And I'll take my comments off air. Listen, I got to run.
We thank you for listening in Pennsylvania today. Obviously, all eyes have been on Pennsylvania along with these other states. But definitely, one word of advice that we've been hearing is let's let this process take its course, and it will work out. We've been here before, maybe not to this degree. When you factor in a worldwide pandemic. It's not just here in America. It's not just one person's fault. So we're dealing with many challenges here. Looks like Douglas is in Illinois. Douglas, thank you for calling Crosstalk.
Yeah, so I was just thinking about these ballots, and I'm thinking about all these mail-in ballots. And there is a way to check those. All you got to do is use some forensic investigation. Because if you have 100,000 ballots, I would say about 99% of those should have different ink on them because every family would use a different pen. But if you were to search those ballots and do some research on them, you might find out that maybe someone who just sat there at a table filled those ballots out one after one with the same pen.
Well,
so you should be able to, you may not be able to find out who it is that did it, but you'd be able to determine whether or not the ballots are fraudulent or whether they're accurate.
Doug in Illinois, thank you for your call. We are up against the break. We will continue with more calls on Crosstalk. Stay with us.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. There is a spiritual battle going on. And in this election, it is definitely a spiritual battle. Black Lives Matter has openly admitted Patricia Kaloors, the one, by the way, who said she is a trained Marxist, has admitted on an audio and a video with the Black Lives Matter founder of Los Angeles that they call up the spirits of the dead. They openly admit they even get instruction from them. They're talking to them. Well, you and I know that it's appointed unto every man to die once and then face the judgment. They're not talking to dead individuals. They're talking to demons. They openly admit they call on their spirits to empower them and even begin many of their Black Lives Rally riots or whatever you want to call them, protests, with a prayer. They are involved by their own admission in a spiritual event, the spirit of darkness. Pray for America.
Oh, friends, time goes so quick. 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. We're not necessarily debating policies today of the candidates, what their agenda was and what they ran on, but we're mainly looking at the news of the day and how we got here, how we got to this point where we're several days post-election and we still do not have a declared winner, and there is many claims, yes, of fraud, and many are saying, okay, where is the evidence? Well, is America patient enough to let the system work? Will we stand by and, well, stay in with and support the vote that we cast just a few days ago? 1-800-733-9829. Looks like line three is ready in Pensacola, Florida. We thank you for your call today. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that we have a lot of fraud, and I truly believe that all we need to do now is pray and have confidence in God that the things will work out. I support President Trump. I love the way he loved America, and I was from Singapore. I became an American citizen in 2013. I love this country. And I hate to see this country going down the tube. And I truly believe that I'm a Christian too. So I truly believe that our country is in God's hand. And I truly believe that God has a plan for our country and to show us how corrupted the system is and to open our eyes. And so be patient. Yes. All the Christians just pray, pray and pray and pray, pray without ceasing. This is what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. And just trust God. And the peace will come unto us because we are guided by Jesus Christ. He will keep the peace in our heart.
All right. Well, we thank you for calling from Pensacola today, Key. Thank you so much. Jerry is in the UP of Michigan. You're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you so much. Two quick points. Number one, the gentleman from Pennsylvania nailed it perfectly. I listened to Trump last night during his speech. It was pathetic. He was just like McCarthy, hurling out accusations without any proof to back it up. And point number two, he can do the same thing he did in 2016. He said that the popular vote, there was fraud. He had a commission investigate. They found nothing, and that is a fact. With all this ridiculous rhetoric, that's all he's got to do, elect a commission and or put forward a commission. They can investigate, and we'll go from there. But in 2016, they found no fraud whatsoever when he was claiming fraud about the popular vote.
Did you support him in 2016?
Yes, I did in 2016. Yes, I did.
Okay.
In 2016, I did support him over Hillary Clinton. Yes, I did.
Okay. In 2020?
Yeah. In 2020, I did not. No,
right.
because I got, in all honesty, tired of exactly what he pulled last night. Last night, that's all he did when he spoke last night. He put forth accusation after accusation with no proof whatsoever to back it up. He would take no questions from reporters because he knew he was going to be asked, "Where's your proof?" And he never has any.
All right, Jerry in the upper peninsula of Michigan, we thank you for your call. Time for maybe one or two more quick calls. Sally is in Lannan, Wisconsin. Hello, Sally.
Wow, this isn't usually our normal caller. So I'm urging everyone to call their state senators and representatives, all their state legislators, and demand that they stand up against this fraud. All it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing.
Sally, thank you for...
urge our listeners to give their state legislators a call, especially in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, and the swing states, and also to call their state senators and have them stand up against this fraud.
All right, Sally in Wisconsin, we thank you for your call. And we'll try to get one more call on here before we have to close things off for the hour. Again, would like to mention that, you know, this voter fraud may seem like a brand new issue to so many, but we have covered this subject extensively over the past few months. Go to crosstalkamerica.com, go to vcyamerica.org, and do a look back to August the 6th of 2020, when Jim Schneider visited with Bill Federer, a program titled Socialism and Vote Fraud. There's much information there. That was August the 6th. 1 month later, September 7th, Jim visited with Robert Knight, the program Vote Fraud. 1 month later, October the 7th, Jim Schneider, the program Vote Fraud Concerns. All of that available for you to listen for and maybe get to, you know, a little bit more information as to really what we're seeing unfold here today. Looks like Chester is in West Virginia. Chester, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Thank you for taking my call, first of all. And I'd like to say, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk and say this and say that. But from day one, ever since Trump got elected, he has fought the Democrats day after day after day with their accusations against him. And what he has brought to the table, I mean, people can tell lies all day long, but numbers never did lie. And the stats of all-time low unemployment rates and things like that, he was actually a good president and could have probably done more if he wouldn't have had to fought the Democrats like he did. But you're talking about the voter fraud. I mean, he spoke about this 6 months ago. He was against it all along. And if people can't tell that something's going on, then they're totally blind. But the main thing is, regardless to who gets elected, regardless to who they put in the White House or in your state capitol, the word of God is going to be fulfilled. And all we can do is get ourselves lined up to be ready for his coming.
Chester, we thank you for your call. Salem, West Virginia, thank you for your call. And, well, the sentiment there today, we would, of course, love to continue hearing from more of you, but time is not going to allow it. But as we said from the very onset here today, for the Christian, for Christian Americans, our foundation is sure. Our foundation is solid. And we do not know what tomorrow holds, do we? But we do know who holds tomorrow. This being Friday, we trust your eyes are on the coming weekend, obviously, and of course the Lord's Day. May the church continue doing what, well, we know to do, giving praise and glory at all times. His praise shall continually be in our mouths. We thank you for calling today. We thank you for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.